Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Welcome to another edition of BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am not Rev.
No, you're not.
Nor am I Joey. Who am I?
What's happened?
I am Vicky Barcelona.
And this is like the last episode of Superman where people were flipping. Are you on the Bizarro? Is that where they are? The Bizarro planets? Are we the only one left?
Something like that. From me, I think, is BJ Shea.
I might be.
The show's namesake.
I think I am, or are you who you are? I don't know, man.
I know. This is a BJ and Vicky, like, father, adopted child episode.
Yeah. The episode you've been waiting to hear. The father-adopted child episode.
And the episode that nobody asked for.
You know, I've never done a DNA test. What if we are somehow crazily related because maybe I'm the long-lost brother of your father? How crazy would that be?
Or long-lost cousin of my dad. I got some unknowns in the family tree.
See? What if someone was just like, yeah, this kid, no, we got to get rid of him.
That's actually pretty funny.
Yeah,
but
I'm Bruno. No one talks about me. That's the thing. You know, so that's that. But now they're going to start talking about me. Come on.
Calm down, Bruno.
Okay.
In today's episode, we are going to be talking about a couple TV shows BJ has watched.
Yes.
As well as getting deep into some Umbrella Academy. And that's going to lead to a deeper conversation. But if you are curious how you can get a hold of us, do so by going to bjshaysgeeknation.com. It's going to have our blogs, podcasts, and more. Or just search BJ Shays Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, and the Odyssey app. To find us. So you've actually been watching a show that I need to catch up on badly. And I like it because it is every episode is its own thing.
It's like a little anthology.
Right. So is this similar to, I never finished the first season. I watched quite a few of the episodes, though. Does it all tie together at some point, or whether a lot or a little, much like the Marvel, I keep saying one shot in my head. It's
what
if.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. No, they're all separate. They all have nothing to do with each other.
That's awesome.
I feel like they're also made by all different types of people. We're talking about Love, Death, and Robots.
Mm-hmm.
On Netflix, and season three, actually, which is crazy to think, season three dropped, and it's got a lot more episodes than season two did, so that was kind of cool. And
definitely based on the name, it's true. Don't let your kids watch this.
Yeah, what I love about it is most of the time it's animation,
mm-hmm.
and it's some beautiful, beautiful animation, and oh gosh, you're just like, whoa!
In so many different styles. That's what I was really amazed by. Some of them had like the CGI, like, are they human? Are they not?
Yes.
Or even like, we have some awesome technology for video games, and that's kind of the vibe I got with some. Some had more of an anime vibe feel to it, and so it's awesome. Every episode is different.
It does give you a chance to really make these sci-fi fantasy worlds just even more amazing, mm-hmm. when everything is just CGI,
right?
You know, and then so they don't have to worry about how is the actor looking at a green screen, or are we lucky enough to have a VR wall, and you get to really see the level of animation that's being done. I love this. I think Love, Death, and Robots is such a fun series. Every different episode with different themes, different ideas. There's cutesy stuff. There is not so cutesy stuff. I will say, for me, the most impressive episode was the last one, called Jabaro, based on a cultural myth.
Okay.
And the animation is just unbelievable. It took me a while to think. Like, I kept going, I think this is CGI, but my gosh, so much of this looks so amazingly real. And it is, it is an amazing story. And some of the stories are really, really cool.
It occurred to me, like, it's very rare, but if you're able to rent out a theater to put on Netflix, this, I feel like, would be a really awesome show to watch on a big screen.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just got so many different, what I love about sci-fi is just when you get to, like, you used to read the short stories. If you got all the short story anthology books that you could buy that would have all the different writers, and they would all do certain short stories. And this has that feel. And it is so good. So if you really are a sci-fi geeky person like myself, and you have not familiarized yourself with Love, Death, and Robots with three different seasons, it is a treat. It really, really is.
And like we said, do not let the kiddos watch it, because even though there's robots, it gets pretty gruesome sometimes.
Yeah, it really does. And it's on Netflix, and it's I love it. I really do love it.
All right. So the next show that you've been watching is this supposed to be like a line from like a pickup line or something? The Man Who Fell to Earth?
Yeah, it's a good one, isn't it?
Right.
You could definitely say that. This is an old book that has been, and it has been, I think, maybe a couple movies have been made based on this book. And this has now been redone into a sci-fi series on Showtime, which it's already wrapped up. But Chiwetel Ejiofor is in it, and you know him as Baron Mordo.
Yes, in Doctor Strange.
Yes, and he plays the title character, and it is, I'm going to tell you, I have not finished the series because it is my show that I like to watch on a plane.
Okay.
And so I'm saving it for that because sometimes when I'm on a plane, I go, gosh, I really wish I had a good show to watch. And I'm like, you know what? This is the perfect show for this because the special effects aren't so important that I need to watch it on a big screen. The story, I think, is really something. You know, Kate Mulgrew was in this.
Oh,
and
whoa,
it's fun seeing her. Naomi Harris who plays a fantastic character by the name of Justin. She's in it. And there's just so many good people in this
Jimmy
movie.
Jimmy Simpson from Westworld.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah, Jimmy, the young, Edward.
Yeah, the man in black.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a series about basically an alien literally falling to Earth. And he's got technology, really cool technology. Unfortunately, it's only a prototype and he needs Earth's help to make the real technology. But at what cost? Will people even believe who he is? And he also isn't the first alien that visited this planet, but something kind of catastrophic happened to that first one. And that's a mystery. What happened to that dude? So this alien has to find out, Faraday has to find out, like, well, what happened to the first dude that came here? We need to make this happen because my planet's dying and your planet's going to be in the same boat if we don't do this.
I was wondering, like, why does this sound familiar? Why does it sound familiar? The first movie, The Man Who Fell to Earth, came out in 1976, and it was David Bowie who played him.
That's right, yeah.
That's why. Okay, I'm like, okay, now I'm tracking.
Yeah, there you go. So it's, I think Chiwetel has done an amazing job. The way he basically plays a being that's not human, that has to get acclimated to humanity, there are some great fish-out-of-water scenes that really travel through the entire series. But you see that eventually, they tell you early on, he's acclimated. But then basically it starts in present day. Then we're going to see flashback pretty much, I think, almost up until the end of the episode. I haven't watched all the episodes, but all the episodes are basically a flashback of how he got to be the person we see at the beginning of the series.
And do we know if we're getting another season? Or
Since I haven't finished it up, I haven't checked. So you can check to see, because I don't know how it ends, because I'm kind of like, hey, I'm saving it for the plane. I'm halfway through the season, even though they've already finished their runs. So maybe a couple, 3 weeks ago, they finished up the last episode.
I mean, there's no like official word, it looks like, as of yet. But apparently the boss does tease season 2 plan. So they do seem to have a plan for the next season.
So they definitely are going to, I don't know how much resolution they're going to give us in season 1, but I...
at least leaving it open for another season.
If you need something to binge and you want a clever story with good acting, and Chiwetel definitely, he takes the cake. Jimmy Simpson is also, he's really good as well. There's a lot of, you know, and it's so, I'll watch Kate Mulgrew do anything.
Right.
And Naomi, I don't think I've seen Naomi Harris in a lot of things, but boy, she and her father, who's played by our Clark Peters, they're the dynamic and what's going on between both of them and their lives and what she's had to endure. A really fine performance on her end as well. And Sonia Cassidy, who plays Edie Flood, and Rob Delaney, who I have seen Rob before. He plays their brother sister, and their dynamic is pretty wild. And there's a lot of great people in this, including Bill Nighy, which you will know from many a British performance, and
including Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's right.
Naomi Harris, she's got one of those faces. I'm like, I know you. She was in Moonlight. She was in 007 Skyfall.
Oh, that's where I've seen her.
She
okay.
Was in 28 Day, Spectre.
Oh, my gosh. So, you know what? She looked familiar, but I'm like, I just can't put my finger on where. And so there you go. All those movies and stuff.
Apparently, she was also in the last Venom movie.
I did. She was?
Yeah. She played Frances. Venom, Let There Be Carnage.
Oh, no. The second movie?
Yeah.
That's her?
She played Frances.
She's unrecognizable. It's like a completely different character. What a great performer, because I did not even equate her being that same. And I know the actress you're talking about in Venom. Wow. I'm almost thinking they're not the same person. They're such different performances. Wow, good for her, man.
She was in a Mandela movie where she played alongside Idris Elba. So she's done quite a few things.
Yeah,
but, and she has that face. Like, I recognize you, but it doesn't click sometimes.
I think it's the sign of a good actor when you do not recognize them because they're such different. It's such a different performance.
Mm-hmm.
So good for you, Naomi. That's I there's more. You're telling me she was in more stuff that I saw that I didn't even know. So anyway, it's called The Man Who Fell to Earth. It's on Showtime or Showtime On Demand and whatever you can do. And if you're looking for the next binge.
I think that might have to be my dad's. I feel like this is right up his alley. He's been looking for more shows.
I think he would dig it.
I think so,
especially
too.
With that fish out of water thing. Mm-hmm. You know, if you ever felt that way in your life, it's kind of cool with this guy. It's like he really is like an immigrant coming to America, trying to make his way in a weird. And I'm sure there's probably some allegories there.
Yeah, you definitely got to like assimilate and all that fun stuff. Yay. But speaking of fun stuff.
Yes.
San Diego Comic-Con came and went.
Lots of stuff. Lots of posts.
A lot of big stuff. I did post a blog about it where I'm like, here are all the trailers, all the big news that came out from it that you need to know. Check out the Quantumanium tease and all these other things.
I got to wait a long time for Fantastic Four, but at least they say it's coming.
Right. And there's so many rumors and speculations like at this point, it's been a minute, John Krasinski, the big news with him, like, is he sticking around? Is he not? Like, is this just a little piece from this world? We don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I suppose you could have a different actor play a different version of Reed Richards, who, that guy has got big connections to the big bad guy in the next big bad guy in all these Avengers movies. He does have connections. Is basically Kang, or a version of Kang, is his dad. So who knows? I mean, you may not have to have John Krasinski be the 616 Reed.
But some other news that came around in the Star Wars, Star Trek realm that's caused a bit of controversy.
You
know what I'm talking about.
Yes, William Shatner, who, you know what, even though he's in his, he's hit the ninth 90s? Decade, you know, he's still being William Shatner, which is, just having a lot of fun. He and Kevin Smith seem to be buddies, and that's kind of fun.
There's a term, it's called the S disturber. They just like to disturb things, if you will.
We've had a great opportunity in my career. I've had the opportunity, and I think you've been present too, where we've had William Shatner as a guest.
You didn't do a panel, but you got to introduce him before his panel.
Yes, he's always been great. Whatever interview I've always done, William's a great performer, and whenever he's doing anything on a stage at any given time, I really think, okay, he's got a reason and he's got a performance-based attitude towards it, as opposed to just sitting there being off the cuff. So I always wonder, like, what's really going on? What's happening? And that's the first thing I wondered when these comments were made to him by him when asked about Star Wars and Star Trek.
And he's always been very vocal. He's never really held back when it comes to his opinion on things. But he did a panel. Kevin Smith was the moderator. And many questions. They made fun of his age. He talked about being in space and his whole journey with that. He did someone asks about other sci-fi franchises. He says, F Star Wars, but not Mark Hamill.
That's
Smith,
pretty good.
Smith's like, we love Mark Hamill, which them two together, they're awesome. Yeah. Like all three. So a fan came up and asked if there's any new Star Trek series he thought rivaled his own. And he replied, none of them. Now, there is no audio. We did look. I thought there was. There isn't any of this specific. So we don't know if it got scrubbed. We don't know if it just didn't get recorded. The audio didn't come out. Because I did hear that there was other moments where people were asking questions and he couldn't hear them because of masks, because he did have a strong mask policy.
I know
policy.
What that's like, having a hearing issue myself. The masks are so tough.
Especially with microphones and being on stage. Oh, it's a mess. But he did say, I got to know Gene Roddenberry in 3 years fairly well. And he'd be turning in his grave at some point of some of this stuff. And a lot of people were mad. They're like, oh, Shatner, meh, meh, meh. But some people are thinking that it was a joke. Like, he was just messing around. So is he really hating all this? Or is he just being an S disturber?
There are definitely factions. And there are factions of people who do not like any of the new Star Trek. Though Strange New World seems to be bringing some of those folks back, because it's more like the original series and episodic stuff, like Next Generation. But really more so, it's giving you the vibe of the original series updated. But yeah, Star Trek Discovery, Star Trek Picard, there are people that do not like it. And his line that I got to know Gene Roddenberry and he'd be spinning in his grave, You know, some people felt that he was doing that tongue-in-cheek because that's a line that a lot of these gatekeepers use. Gene Roddenberry spinning his grave. Discovery is not Star Trek. Call it what you want. It's not Star Trek. It's just a sci-fi. You hear that a lot in a lot of Gene Roddenberry spinning in his grave comments, and you hear it you see it posted a lot. So part of me is like, I feel like he could be trolling the trolls. But the trolls are definitely saying... I maybe calling trolls is bad, but the people that don't like new Star Trek are taking this as a rallying cry. There's this guy on YouTube that wears like this alien robot head, and he hates the new Star Trek.
Of course he does.
And he's on there, but I think it's funny. It's like, well, show your face if you really want to be. But he says horrible things about the new stuff. And I want so he's championing these comments from Shatner, and I'm like, or is Shatner making fun of you? It's hard to tell. I haven't heard the audio, but some people believe it was a joke. Other people believe it's true. You know, Shatner tends to be a larger-than-life entertainer on a stage.
Oh, yeah.
And Bill was on a stage. And my interactions with him, whenever we interview him, he's performing all the time. He is that good. So... I mean, is he bitter about, you know, whatever's gone on in Star Trek? And does he honestly believe that the original series is better than any of the Star Trek? Well, I don't fault him for believing that. It's because he was on it, and he probably still thinks it.
And he experienced it.
And it was a damn good show.
Enjoy on a whole different level that none of us would ever know.
Yeah, it's a damn good show. It's really hard to ask somebody who's in their 20s to watch a show from the 60s and like it when entertainment has evolved the way it has. But it is a damn good show. So I can see you going, hey, look, I mean, everybody's doing a great job, but I think my show was the best.
I do want to point out, just because I've seen this so much with the world, the politics and everything on social media right now. My favorite thing in the world is like, why do these shows have to be political? Blah, 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 blah. Why do they have to? I'm like, did you not watch the original content?
Yeah.
There's a lot of acceptance, a lot of stuff that, you know, we might still be dealing with today that showed in the future. This is not going to be a thing. We're not going to care about these things. And it was very progressive. So the fact that everyone's complaining about how the show is trying to do exactly what other shows have done, it's like, calm down.
There's a confusion or a conflation of the word progressive and then the W word. And, you know, whatever the W word used to mean, it just doesn't mean that anymore. It's a negative word, which really, you know, it sucks if somebody really felt like the original intent of the W word was, you know, something. And I'm literally saying the W word because it has that kind of charge to it.
Yeah, in both directions, it triggers
divisive
people.
Boom. Yeah. Yeah. And I like progressive. I like, you know, whatever other word could be. I like awareness. Mm-hmm. Like, I really want to be more aware as a human being every day on the planet. What I'm seeing, Vicky, is this. I am seeing that there is just an entire group of people, and I will speak for my generation because, you know, we're the ones that watch the original series. And maybe some of the next geners would be my son. And television is definitely, in science fiction and other forms, taking a deep dive into emotions. Emotions is the final frontier for the new Star Trek shows. They're definitely going into the emotions, and it's intentional. It is, I think, where these new showrunners are like, we have really gone deep in a lot of things, racism and whatever, and marginalization, but going deeper into emotions and behavioral science and the way you be with other people, that's a big part of, I would say, Star Trek Discovery, and it truly was a big part of this last season of Star Trek Picard. And many older people from the Next Gen age to the TOS original series age, they sit there and go, I am not used to this deep dive into emotions. Even my son says Umbrella Academy. He goes, man, I mean, it could be so good, but they get into all these emotions. And I'm like, that's kind of why I love the show. I love the family dynamic of this broken family in Umbrella Academy, which I think is so brilliantly done. And he just doesn't like it, which... Mm-hmm. It's okay.
It's okay not to like it.
Yeah. The trouble is when you don't like something and don't know why you don't like it, therefore you attack it.
And saying it's bad in general.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, I know that I don't like anime. I just know I don't like it. And it would be ridiculous of me to say, hey, you guys like that Cowboy Bebop show. I watched one episode. That show is crap. You people are stupid. No, I don't like anime. Therefore, whatever those folks who love anime are getting from it, which is a lot, it doesn't hit me the same way. That does not mean that's not an amazing show and that they're wrong for liking what they like.
And the example I always give, and this is a fight my best friend and I have. Mind you, I've known her for over 20 years and we never fight except for this. She loves Taylor Swift. I despise her. Do I have a good reason to? No. And I just don't like listening to her music. I see her face and I get a reaction out of it. I don't know where it's from. I still haven't figured it out. I'm doing deep dives on my other mental traumas and issues. I'll figure it out one day. But that being said, she's like, but Taylor Swift writes her own songs. I'm like, I know. I'm never going to say Taylor Swift is not an amazing artist, that she doesn't have an amazing voice, that she hasn't done great things. I think she's a talented human being and has put out some amazing stuff. I just don't like her. And that's okay. I just mostly mess with her just to piss her off.
Yeah.
It's funny. But like, I will never say Taylor Swift isn't good. And that's kind of the same situation.
And Vicky, you bring up a good point. You will mess with your friend. Somehow people forget that the internet and Facebook, even though, you know, like we're not all friends in a group. We have joined a group. It's not a group of friends. It's a group of people who like something. So when somebody goes on there and treats us like they're their friend, and if, you know, Brené Brown has talked about this on her Atlas of Love show, sarcasm is not good in written form. You just can't do it. So when you try to be sarcastic or even, you know, telling some kind of a joke in written form, it doesn't work. So you're in a room treating us like you're our friend when we don't know you and you're being sarcastic or trolly.
Which can come off attacky.
It's horrible. It just doesn't work. And that is what's going on in the state of Star Wars, which, you know, Simon Pegg said he feels they're the most toxic fans, which I feel sad for because I'm an OG Star Wars fan. I was there at 17 and when that movie came out in episode 4. And I'm like, when did this happen? We all wanted everybody to love what we loved. That's all I ever wanted. It was people to love what I love because nobody did except my small group of geeks. But now everybody loves what I love.
And we're seeing this now again in Stranger Things with Metallica hit the charts. And I saw a couple people post like, I've been listening to Metallica since I was, you know, in utero. You know, you just started listening to it because Stranger Things. And even Metallica's like, good.
Yes.
You like us now? You never knew, like, especially the younger audience, you never knew that we existed and now you love us or you enjoy this song or you have a special connection to us now? That's great. You're welcome. You're welcome to this club. Like, it's not, can we stop gatekeeping? Like, it doesn't matter how you find out about things. Like, I found out about comics by going to the library and I fell in love when I saw X-Men 2 in theaters. Like, that doesn't mean like the person who saw the latest, you know, Spider-Man movie and who fell in love then and there, that doesn't make them any less valid. That doesn't make sense to me.
And I will say this, and I think one of the best Star Trek story arc seasons ever was this last season of Star Trek Discovery. It was brilliant. And I'll also say this, if you don't appreciate emotions as part of a world you want to explore within your story, yeah, you're not going to like that season. But me, I'm like, oh my God, what they did in season 4 of Disco was brilliant. I mean, it was excellent. It was superb. That's why when they go, it's a crap show and they do this and there's plot holes, I go, you're thinking there are plot holes because you're not in touch with your emotions. Therefore, it's literally going over your head. And therefore, you're missing everything. And look, I don't want to stereotype and get gender specific, but really, the average dude just doesn't get high emotional interactions and entertainment. I know this in my life because I'm not an average dude. Most dudes go, dude, can you shut up? What are you talking about? I don't want to talk about my feelings. And the average woman will be able to sit down and go, all right, let's talk about this realm of existence. And boy, Disco does that. They are so good on every level. And then this last season was ridiculously brilliant as they took us from one part of the story to another part of the story. There is nothing wrong with what they are doing. I would say you just don't like entertainment based on diving deep into emotions.
And there's nothing wrong with that. That's
kinda, fine.
That's like when we talk about like popcorn movies, like you get your Fast and the Furious. And even like, I would argue, granted, I haven't seen it yet. like Thor: Love and Thunder, could that constitute as a popcorn movie? Turn your brain off. Don't worry about any of that. Like that sort of thing. Like, it's okay to like those things, and it's okay to, you know, not like more of the emotional stuff. And in my head, like I go into both. Sometimes I really want to feel and think. There are other times I'm like, I don't want to think at all. So yeah. I'm going to play a show I've seen a million times that's lighthearted. Part of the reason why, Caesar, if you're listening, calm down. Okay, I'll get to it when I get to it. But I haven't seen Joker yet because I know I need to be in a certain headspace. I want to make sure I'm watching it in with the right eyes. I know I'm going to love it. I know it's going to be brilliant. I just haven't been in that mode yet to really appreciate it.
And hey, that's okay.
Yeah, I'll get to it when I get to it, Caesar.
Yeah, and a big shout out to Umbrella Academy because I just started watching season one, and boy, Vicky, they laid the groundwork for Klaus's new power in season one, and I'm just like, this is brilliant. I am like, it's a show that I'm like, wow, I really missed so much. I mean, I enjoyed it, but it's been, you know, since 2019 since I watched it, so I'm like, all right, I'm going to go back and watch it because I really like season three. I love that show, and I get why it is generational trauma, and boy, do they show you what happens if certain styles of parenting and human interaction happen. I mean, the whole show is brilliantly done. Steve Blackman, thank you. Gerard Way, thank you for the books.
Gerard Way, like, yeah. Phenomenal artist in so many genres.
And Steve is the guy that brought it to TV. And we haven't got a season four renewal yet, though he says
he's got plans.
I hope enough of us love Umbrella Academy. That's why I'm kind of happy to watch it again, because that will count as a stream, you know, and that Netflix will say, yes, we think it's good enough to be made again. But I understand I don't know if I'm in a minority or not. It's hard to know with Umbrella Academy how many people love it and how many people don't.
And each season is so different.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a different vibe for each season, and each season works in that way.
It's such good acting. And Aiden, I think Quinn is his name, if I'm not...
Joseph Quinn from Stranger Things.
Aiden Gallagher, thank you. Yes,
yep.
Aiden Gallagher, who plays number five. I don't know how that kid... I didn't hear him being nominated for Emmy.
I didn't hear it either, but that kid has a bright future.
He is terrific.
We must protect him at all costs.
And if you don't know, he basically has to play a guy who is like 60 years old.
But he's like a child's body.
Yeah, he's in a child's body. And boy, Aiden pulls it off. He makes you really feel like that is a 60-year-old in a little kid's body.
Crotchety 60-year-old.
So good. Facial expressions, the way he delivers lines.
I love it.
It's a fun show. And if that's another binge. I envy you if you haven't seen any of it.
Right.
And you kind of like stuff. There you go. So that's our little thing about emotional television and what science fiction and fantasy is doing. They are deep diving into emotion. I get that you don't like it. That's okay you don't like it, but it's not crap if you don't like something. That's important to know. And I think that irritates me. It's like, don't call what I love crap. Don't say it's the worst. Like, Ms. Marvel is not the worst thing Marvel has ever done.
No.
And yet people are doing that. What irritates me is you got a group, somebody will go on there and go, I really love Ms. Marvel. What a fun show. And then you've decided to walk into that conversation and tell that person that what they like sucks. And not only that, then you're saying it's the worst thing that company's ever done. And I would look at you and go, well, no, that's not. It's not. It may be the worst thing that you've ever seen by that company. I'll give you that. But, you know, factually, you're wrong. It's not. And Ms. Marvel, on so many levels, I really enjoyed. So I
did, too. Yeah. And one of the things Rev and I talked about. So the last time we did talk about Ms. Marvel, I had not seen the ending yet. I really love the little teaser Easter egg at the very, very end.
Yes,
and the little,
and the music.
The little music thing. I was like,
yeah.
But, like, it very much hit me because I am first generation, you know, parents immigrated to this country, became citizens. So there is a lot that I related to, even though her family and my family are from completely different sides of the world. I related to her and her family so much. So when you're sitting there and you say something's crap, can you at least stop and think, why do I think it's crap? Is it because this show was not made for me? Because it was pretty young. It was a younger vibe to it.
I still didn't have a problem with that at all.
Which some people would love.
They
people
were
don't.
Very relatable, Vicky. Even though it was young people, it was done so well that this 61-year-old guy was like, you know what? I'm really digging these characters. And look, I watch the CW. So yes.
Oh, yeah.
So I can tell you, yes, there are some teenage show things that I'm like, I want none of this. This was much deeper than that.
I was going to say, it's not so superficial.
Yeah. And that's why it's like, you got to look in the mirror and ask yourself, do I not just like it because it's just not my thing, as opposed to this is crap? And I feel like it's so cruel to basically just tell people in their own place. I'm in a group of people that want to love the show, and you're coming into my room and going, what you like is crap. You're stupid. And then a massive troll fight. I'm like, what? When did that happen? If you're really a geek, what are you doing? Because that's what people used to do to me in the 70s. Mm-hmm. Star Trek's for losers, you idiot. Comic books are for losers. You're doing the same thing. And why would you do that when... I mean, it's like the oppressed have become the oppressor. And then you're doing it to your own people.
Right. I even got a little bit of the tail end, like in the 2000s, early 2000s, when I was in middle school and high school and stuff. Like, I feel like my generation was kind of like the first to be like, well, why can't we still like this as adults? But I still got some of that. And it's like, can we stop this cycle? Like, it just because you've been hurt doesn't mean you have to hurt someone else.
Yeah, good point.
So, a fun little homework assignment, if you're willing to do so, take a look at something you really didn't like, whether a movie or a show. And kind of based on what we said today, if you'd like to share with us, kind of think about, why do I not like this? Why does this create such a huge emotion for me? And let us know what you find out. I'm curious.
Well, look at this, Vicky. I apologize. I started something and you don't even get to do a geek sheet. I'm sorry.
I had fun.
All right, fair enough.
This was the dynamic duo today.
Yeah, we showed them. You know what? We don't need nobody.
We get deep on this.
Oh, yeah. That's probably when they come back, they go, you're not going to do any of that deep stuff, are you?
It's like, probably.
Right, nah, probably not. I mean, you're right. We should probably get back to just, you know.
Well, in the words of the wise Will Wheaton.
Oh, Will Wheaton.
Don't be a dick. And until next time, stay nerdy.